All right. Well, several weeks ago, we began a mini-series called The Armor of God. The Armor of God. It comes from Paul the Apostle's writing to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. The Armor of God. Now, you know, when you made Jesus Christ your Savior and your Lord, God, the Maker of heaven and earth, became your Father. And God, now think about this, friends, God is the author of good things. His plan for you is good. He's got something good in store for you. The Bible says that Jesus went about doing good and healing all who are under the power of the devil because God was with him. It says in Acts 10:38, He left us with the Holy Spirit, who is our counselor. He's our comforter. He's our exhorter. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, their will, their intention for us is good, right? They have our best interests in mind. You agree with that today? That God's will for us is good. But friends, yet in our spiritual walks with God, we face a realm of evil that we're battling. It's not a flesh and blood battle. It's not like one nation of flesh and blood fighting another nation of flesh and blood. We are in a spiritual battle. It's the kingdom of God against the kingdom of darkness. And Paul the Apostle writes about this in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. And because we're in this spiritual battle, Paul the Apostle writes that you need to arm yourselves with this armor. Now, last week, we talked about the spiritual piece of armor called the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. A bulletproof vest for a law enforcement official, what does it do? He has it on his chest. It protects his physical heart from an incoming bullet, right? The breastplate of righteousness protects your spiritual heart. When the Bible talks about the heart, what is it talking about?
The
heart. All right. It's talking about the soul. It's talking about the inner part of a person. It's talking about your spirit. It's talking about your spirit. And Paul the Apostle says you need to put on your breast, this breastplate of righteousness to guard your spiritual heart. Now, you know, as a believer in Jesus Christ, as a follower of God, you can put good things into your spiritual heart from the Word of God. Right? You can think like God. You can act like God. You can talk by God as you study His Word and as you pray. But at the same time, in your spiritual walk, there's a devil out there that is trying to deposit his trash into your heart. So to prevent the devil from depositing his trash in your heart, what do you need to do? Put on your breastplate. How do you put on your breastplate?
Being honest to God.
Okay, by quoting the Word of God to him. So say the devil comes along and whispers to you, hey, it's okay to sleep with somebody who's not your spouse. God understands. He'll forgive you. Just do it. It's okay. God, His grace will cover you. If you do it 10 times and you sleep with somebody who's not your spouse, God will forgive you 10 times. That's the enemy trying to deposit his trash into your heart. So how do you put up the breastplate of righteousness? You say, no, devil. The Word of God says that my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit and I am not going to defile it. One thing the devil hates is what? The Word of God. It scares him. Remember, in the temptation, Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11, when the enemy tempted Jesus, what did Jesus do? He quoted the Word of God. In Matthew 4, 11, it says that the devil left him. So when the devil tries to put his trash into your heart, do what? Quote the Word of God and begin to pray. That's another way that you put on the breastplate of righteousness, is by praying to God, saying, God, you know, I'm weak in this area. I can't overcome drugs. I can't overcome alcohol. I can't overcome this addiction. Give me your strength. And guess what? He will give you His strength. Now today we're going to talk about the third piece of spiritual armor called the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. It's in Ephesians 6:15. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Let me give you a little bit of history on this. In the day that Paul was writing, there were marching armies. Part of their military armor was what was called brass greaves. Brass greaves went from the knee down and covered the foot. You see, the enemy would try to put out gall traps and sharp sticks for the marching army. But if the marching army had on these brass greaves, their feet covered with this brass, they would be protected and defended against the enemy's traps. Is that making sense? It was a type of shield that went from the knee down to the foot. The marching armies wore this. It's because, you know, the enemy would put out traps, sharp sticks, gall traps. But if the marching army had on these brass sheaves, they would walk into the traps and they wouldn't be hurt. They were defended. They were protected. I think Paul the Apostle is trying to paint a picture here. Just as the marching army needed to protect its physical feet, we need to protect our spiritual feet by putting on the gospel of peace. Let me say that again. Just as the marching army of Paul's day needed to protect its physical feet, we need to protect our spiritual feet by putting on the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Okay, so Paul the Apostle here, it's interesting. He doesn't call it just the gospel. He doesn't say, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel. He says, your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. There's a reason he writes the words in there, of peace. It's significant. Why does he write the gospel of peace? Think about it. Because the area the enemy would try to trip your spiritual feet up in is in the area of peace. The area spiritually that the enemy would try to trip you up in the area of peace. In the area of peace. He's going to try to throw attacks against your peace. But you've got to defend yourself, protect yourself, by having your feet shod with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. For the next few minutes, I want to talk about how he tries to attack our peace and how we're to defend ourselves in this area. Now, friends, you may have suffered a loss. Maybe you've received an unexpected negative report. Maybe you're at unrest about what the future holds for you. So there's a little bit of unrest inside. Man, I've lost this thing. I've lost this relationship. I've lost this job. I've gotten this bad report. What does the future hold for me? So there's turmoil on the inside of you. And the enemy would come up to you and whisper to you. He'd say, you know what? Take some drugs. Get drunk. Try an immoral relationship. Go ahead and try yoga or try another religion. The enemy would whisper to you, these things will give you peace. Don't worry, God understands. He's lying to you. You know, I was in India about 5 years ago, North India, ministering the gospel. Every time I go to North India, I stay in the YWCA. It's a beautiful facility. And outside the YWCA, there's like a patio area that people can have breakfast, lunch, and dinner at. And I happened to be there one day with my Indian host friend. And there was this Caucasian lady who was there. And she started talking with us. She said, I started coming to India, she said, at that time, 6 years ago. She said, I came here and I met this spiritual Hindu leader. He's about 5 foot tall. He's got a big old afro. And he's funny looking, she said. She said, I thought he was kind of funny looking. She said, but when I saw him and when I talked to him, she said, I fell in love with him. He appears to me at night and gives me words of wisdom. He can do this. He can do that. So she's arguing back and forth with my Indian friend. And after all the arguments, my Indian friend asks her this. He said, ma'am, let me ask you this. Is this Hindu spiritual leader able to give you inner peace? And at that point, friends, the conversation went silent. Why? The understood answer was no. Friends, drugs and alcohol and wrong sexual relationships, yoga, other religions don't give peace. They only give temporary relief. You know, when the drugs wear out, when the alcohol wears out, when that relationship wears out, guess what? You're back stuck in the same place of turmoil. And then you've got to go back to it. So the enemy has got you trapped. Only Jesus Christ can fill the emptiness that you have on the inside. Who is Jesus Christ referred to as in the scripture? Who is Jesus?
Son of God.
Son of God, okay. He is known as the Prince of Peace. Look at what he says in John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. He says, I don't give you the type of peace that the world gives. What's the world's understanding of peace? The world says if everything is going good, if you're making good money, you got a big house, you got a nice boat, got a great spouse, then you've got peace. That's not peace. That's happiness. Based on happenings. If the happenings are good, the world says, then you've got peace. But Jesus says, my peace is greater. Jesus says, you can have storms in your life. You can have trials in your life. And you can have peace in the midst of the storms. Amen? Amen. That's the peace that Jesus alone can bring. You might be thinking today, well, Jonathan, you know what? 10 years ago, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. But I still have turmoil on the inside. My question to you is this. Have you been developing that relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you been developing that relationship with Christ? Have you? That's one of the ways that you put on your spiritual feet the gospel of peace, is by developing your relationship with Jesus Christ. Getting to know Him more intimately. Not making Him only your Savior, but making Jesus your Savior and your Lord. He wants to be more than just Savior. He wants to be Lord. What does Lord mean? Lord means ruler. Jesus Christ wants to rule every part of your life. He wants to rule your mind, what you think. He wants to rule what you do with your body. He wants to rule your spirit. And as you make Jesus Christ Lord of your life and develop that relationship with Him, guess what? Turmoil will not be able to enter your life. The unending peace of God will be present. How many here are attempting to develop that relationship with Christ? You've got to do it, friends. You've got to make Jesus ruler over every single area of your life. That's how you put on the gospel of peace, is by developing that relationship with Christ. Another area in which the devil would try to attack your peace is this, is with worry, anxiety, nervousness, and fear. You know what, friends? Worry and fear, anxiety and nervousness are cousins. They are all related, you know? Maybe you're anxious, maybe you're nervous, worried about your next meal. Where's my next meal going to come from? Where's my next set of clothing going to come from? Will I have enough money at the end of the month? Or will I have more month at the end of my money? When will this abusive relationship ever end? and your mind is constantly working. Will I have a job by the end of the year? And your mind is thinking and thinking and thinking, and you're worried. Guess what? The enemy is trying to rob you of your peace. You know, I met a man a couple of months ago at one of the homeless shelters here on a Friday night. And he said to me, Jonathan, he said, you know, I work hard all day. But he says, I can't sleep at night. My mind is always working. Thinking, 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 thinking. He's anxious. He's worried. He's fearful. So I prayed for him. The enemy is trying to rob his sleep. You know, I read a little quote recently at a jewelry store as I was driving by. And how many here know that the stock market has really taken a hit?
Yeah.
And this is what the quote said. It said, concerning the stock market nowadays, I sleep like a baby. I wake up every 2 hours crying. You know, the stock market may not be your problem. It may be something different. You don't have to wake up every 2 hours crying. You don't have to sleep like that baby. Guess what? You can sleep like a log with the peace of God on the inside. That makes sense? You can sleep like a log with the peace of God on the inside of you. God wants to give you peace. He wants to give you peaceful sleep. Now, let me ask you this. When the enemy tries to throw worry, concern, anxiety, and fear at your mind, how do you put on the gospel of peace to defend your, to defend yourself spiritually? How do you put on the gospel of peace when he tries to throw anxiety at you? How do you do it? Let me ask you that again. Pray, that's good. When he tries to throw anxiety and fear at you, how do you put on the gospel of peace? How do you fit your spiritual feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace? Pray, that's good. Okay, I heard pray. It's simple. You say, you know what, enemy, you're trying to get me anxious. You're trying to get me worried. But my trust is in God. I rest in faith and in trust that God has got my back. You see, friend, when you're relying on yourself, when you're trying to figure it out with your mind about where your next meal will come from, if you'll have a job, if you're relying on yourself, you'll always be worried and anxious. The Word of God says, cast all your cares on God because He cares for you. Just have it settled on the inside. God has got my back. God has got my back. He's got it taken care of. Now think about the little girl, 3 years old, who loves her daddy and her daddy loves her. Her daddy comes home from a long day's work, knocks on the door. She runs to the door, opens up the door and runs into daddy's arms. She's got no fear about her meal. She knows daddy will provide her meal. She's got no fear about where she'll sleep that night. She knows that daddy's got her shelter provided. He kisses her. He hugs her. He takes care of all her needs. She's dependent on daddy. She trusts daddy. Guess what, friends? We have got a heavenly daddy, and it's God. He wants us to run into his arms. He wants us to know that he is the meter of every single one of our needs. So when the devil tries to throw anxiety and worry at your mind, say, no. My trust is in God. He's my heavenly daddy. He's got it. Now listen, God has got it under control in my life. God has got my back. Now look at Matthew 6, the Sermon on the Mount. How many know about the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus talked about people worrying? Matthew chapter 6, about their food and their clothing. Matthew 6:28. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Verse 33 is the key verse. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So when anxiety and worry try to enter your mind about something, about a loss, about a relationship, about a job, about food, about clothing, say no, Satan, I'll quote the word of God to you. I'm seeking God, his kingdom, and all these other things will be added unto me. God has got my back. He's got it under control. I don't have to worry. Settle it in your heart. When your trust is in God, worry, anxiety, fear, nervousness will have to leave. You know, back in July of this year, I was at a water park with a friend, all right? And we had a great day, and we took our belongings, put them in a bag underneath a lounge chair. And, you know, silly me, I wanted to save like $4 or $5 on a locker. So instead of renting a locker, we put our belongings in this bag underneath a chair. Everybody was doing it. It was Big Splash Water Park. So we rode all the rides. We had a great day. Come back around 7 o'clock at night, right? Go to the chair. Find that the bag is missing. And I start to get nervous and anxious. I had some money in there. I had my keys in there. I had a watch in there. She had some clothing in there. It's like, oh my goodness, where did the bag go? My keys are in there. We're stuck here. I can't even get into my car. So we go to the management office. I tell the guy, you know what? Sorry, we left our bag out here like everybody else was doing, and it's gone. He said, well, let me take your name, your phone number, your address. If it pops up, I'll let you know. I'm sorry about that. He said, one of the things you might want to do is just go out and check the restrooms. It might be there. So we walked out of the management office, and lo and behold, I look to my right, and guess what? In front of the ladies' bathroom, there's my bag. I was like, yes! I knew God had the whole thing under control. Deep down in my heart, I knew that God was going to take care of it. Even though my mind was getting nervous and anxious, in my spirit, I was trusting God. I knew that God had our bag. And guess what? Guess what? They didn't take any money. They didn't take the keys. They took none of our personal belongings. They only took a pair of, actually, Brandy's shirt, the girl I was with. That's all they took was a piece of clothing. Everything else was there. So I was like, God, I knew you had our back. Praise God. It's the same way for you, friends. If an opportunity arises for you to get anxious, nervous, or worried, just know on the inside, God has got my back. Worry has got to leave, and peace has got to remain. Amen? All right, in closing this, another area the enemy will try to attack your peace in is in the area of relationship with others. It's good to be at peace with other people, right? It's good to have harmony with other people, right? You know, if you're deeply anxious and you're deeply worried and nervous, guess what? The focus is on self. And James tells us in James 4, 1 through 2, that selfishness is the cause of strife and fighting and quarreling. So when the enemy tries to throw strife at you in relationship to somebody else, what do? How do you put on the gospel of peace? In relating to others, in interacting with others. You do this to close it off. Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. This is what you do. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. What is he saying? He's saying, let the peace of Christ be the umpire of your life. Let the peace of Jesus Christ make the calls in your life. So, for instance, say you and somebody are talking about a certain issue, right? You're talking about a certain issue with somebody. And you've got your opinion. And that person's got their opinion. And you're like, no, my opinion is right. It's the only way. And you start proclaiming publicly your opinion. And you start yelling at the other person. Guess what? You're getting into strife. So how do you put on the gospel of peace? How do you let the peace of Christ be the umpire of your life? Ask yourself this question. WWCD. What would Christ do? If Jesus was talking to somebody and an opportunity arose for strife, what would Jesus do? What would Christ do? He would lay aside self, trusting that God has got his back to maintain the harmony and the peace. Somebody may have a viewpoint that's different than yours. Are you going to fight with them? No. Just trust that God is going to give that person clarity. That God will let that person see the light. That God will let that person see the true way. Just trust in God. And as you do that and put self aside, you've got harmony in that relationship. Peace. Does that make sense? So what are you going to ask yourself when you're relating to somebody else and you guys are about ready to fight? What are you going to ask? What would Jesus do? WWCD, what would Christ do? He would put aside self to maintain the peace.